All at once, I noticed my temperature gauge in the pickup. All at once, it went up to the red. Should I take warning? Well, if I don't take warning, I'll probably lose the engine, get a cracked head or something. And so warnings are there for us to take heed to. You know, it didn't take very long to put some fluid in and get the engine cooled down again. The water pump's bad, by the way. Didn't get it changed yet, so I need to check the water level before I start down the road until I get that changed. If the oil light comes on, you should check the oil periodically, regardless if the oil light comes on or not. But if the oil light comes on, you know, it doesn't take that long to just check the dipstick, and if it needs more oil, to add some oil. Preventive is a lot easier than a cure. And in Scripture, we repeatedly have warnings. In Old Testament times, the prophets gave warnings to the children of Israel. In times of faithfulness, it was a warning. Don't forsake the Lord, or bad things will happen. He will forsake you. And if they did forsake the Lord and they were unfaithful, it was a warning of coming judgment if you don't repent. Just a short article in Worshipful Families by Howard Bean. It's an article, Pay Attention to Warnings. It says, two weeks after the Boxing Day tsunami, the Wall Street Journal reported that a Thai meteorologist, Mr. Smith, had sounded a warning about a possible tsunami in 1998. At first, his countrymen were very concerned and some fled to the hills. But no tsunami happened, and people made fun of Mr. Smith and forced him into early retirement, calling him a crackpot and accusing him of causing panic and jeopardizing the tourist industry. After the big 2004 tsunami, the critics stopped laughing. Mr. Smith was asked to come out of retirement to help prepare a tsunami warning system for his country. Not every earthquake under the ocean causes a tsunami. It is difficult to accurately predict tsunamis. Therefore, people may not pay attention to warnings. When a tsunami has begun, at first, it doesn't seem to amount to much. Fishermen can be right in the path of a tsunami far from shore and not feel more than a slight ripple. However, as tsunami waves come toward shore at over 500 miles per hour, they slow down to about 50 miles per hour and then to about 12 miles per hour as the shallow water acts as a brake, while the back of the wave continues at high speed. This creates a huge, terrifying wall of water. Then it says, a 1938 tsunami caused by a landslide in an Alaskan bay had a wave estimated to be 1,720 feet high. That would be a terrifying wall of water coming at you. And so a warning was given that a tsunami is likely to happen. And at first, people were taking warning. They left the area. But everything seemed peaceful and calm, went back to their homes. And when the 04 tsunami hit, I don't have estimates of how many people lost their lives, but it was devastating to a lot of areas. Looking at a few examples in Scripture where warnings were given, first one in Daniel chapter 4. This is when King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. In his dream, he saw this huge tree. The birds came and made their nests in the tree. It was shade for the cattle. And then the tree was cut off down at the stump. The stump remained in the ground and so on. But the tree was cut down. And then later, out of that stump, again, growth came out. And the king had this dream, and he wondered, what does it mean? And Daniel gave the interpretation in Daniel chapter 4, in verse 24. Daniel says, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men And thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, now comes the warning. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. So Daniel is telling him, this is what is going to happen. But if you repent, you break off from your sins, it may be that the Lord will lengthen or at least postpone, if not cancel, this prediction of what is to happen to you. But we see the king did not take warning. And a year later, as he was walking in the palace, and he made these big statements of, isn't this Babylon that I have built? I did it. And the judgment came upon him, and he went, and as Yost Miller used to say, he went to grass college. And it was a good education for him. And at the end of this time of eating grass like the oxen, long hair, claws like birds' claws, in verse 34, it says, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. And that's important that we do, that we lift our eyes to heaven. And then in verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar makes this statement. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to humble. We are grateful that Nebuchadnezzar learned the lesson, but it's sort of sad that he had to learn it the hard way, of learning it by experiencing it. And in Scripture, we have repeated warnings. We don't have to learn by experiencing mistakes. God wants us to live in victory. In Mark 13, in this prophecy, the setting is where the disciples and Jesus were leaving the temple, and the disciples said, look at the temple. Look at these buildings. Aren't they something? And Jesus tells that they will be destroyed. And then later on they ask, when shall this be? And the first thing Jesus says is, take heed, lest any man deceive you. And then he goes on to give warnings. And I think in this account, it's probably directed towards both the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of time before the coming of Christ. Some may be more specifically towards the destruction of Jerusalem. And I note that in the destruction of Jerusalem, the way I understand, all the Christians had left. They remembered the teachings of Jesus that when these signs come to pass, flee to the mountains. And from what I understand, there were no Christians left in Jerusalem when it was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. Close to the end of this discourse, in verse 31 of Mark 13, Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cockcrowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And so Christ here is warning us to be alert, stay vigilant. The end of time will be coming. And what are some of those signs of the end of time? In 2 Peter 3, verse 3, Peter gives a warning, says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Have you ever seen scoffers or heard them? Walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So one of the signs in the last days, there's going to be scoffers saying, Christ coming back, we heard that for a long time. Surely it won't happen. I haven't heard a lot of it, but I've heard it already. Similar statements. 2 Timothy 3 gives some more warning signs. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And then it has that whole list of things that they go after. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And so in these warnings, it's important that we take warnings. You know, as we travel down an interstate and there's road construction ahead, often it's miles ahead of the actual construction where we start seeing signs. Road construction ahead, so many miles. It's going down to a one lane. Start merging. And you know, those are warnings that we sort of take for granted. Sure, we know it's going to happen. We know we have to get over into this certain lane if we want to get through the construction site. Well, Jesus, or Scripture, gives us warnings that tell us what we need to do in order to get through the, may I say, the day of destruction instead of construction. And it's important that we heed those warnings and we follow the directions given to us by Scripture. Malay proverb says, just because the river is quiet, don't think the crocodiles have left. When things seem to be going well, remember, danger lurks close by. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. I think our level of spiritual strength is in direct relation to our humility or our recognizing of our neediness. It is when we see our need, it's in our weakness, and we recognize our weakness that it allows God to show his strength through our lives. So as Jesus said, let us watch and pray, let's be alert. Shall we kneel and pray? Father in heaven, I just thank you that you are a loving Father, one who cares deeply about each one of us. Thank you for the scriptures that you have given to us that give us warning, not just warnings, but they give us instructions and help us to walk in obedience to the instructions that you give us so that we can abide safely in the day of judgment and we can be with you for eternity. So thank you, Lord, for each one that's gathered here. Pray that you would minister to each need this morning, whether it's need of encouragement, conviction, comfort. Lord, you can take Scripture and you can meet all those needs through your Spirit. Bless the Sunday school teachers. Pray that each class would have just a time of blessing and inspiration and that it would draw our hearts to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
this morning.